Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. So today, you guys, I have Kim D on from Real Housewives of New Jersey to break down all the gossip about what's going on this franchise. It has been all over the news, the fact that the reunion has been canceled. So we wanted to have her on to break down all the gossip, to tell us the inside scoop, because she knows everyone on the cast. She knows the intimate details, and she really gives me a lot of insight. So I think you will really thoroughly enjoy this episode. Kim also discusses her new book out, My Life with the Big Boys, which is basically an anthology of the most influential people in her life. I found it really interesting. I think she's fascinating. I think that obviously if you follow her, you know how fascinating and outspoken and authentic she is. If you don't follow her, I think you still will find this episode very intriguing because she just has such a good personality and really is the one that can talk on the subject of reality TV and housewives more than most because she's been on it and then she's friends with all these people. So anyways, without further ado, why don't you grab a glass of wine or whatever makes you comfortable and get ready to listen to my conversation with the iconic Kim D. Well, Kim D, it's such an honor and a pleasure to have you here on Misunderstood. It's been a long time coming.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm so excited that we got to do this. I really am. Especially the way we started.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second because we came into each other's universe because of a mutual connection.
Yes.
Should we, I mean, thou shalt not be named?
No problem. Or, no problem.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to necessarily start another feud here, but I do want to talk about it for a second because, you know, it's been the topic of some of your podcasts.
Yes.
And also because of your feud with David, you ended up actually starting a podcast of your own and a new business. So there was a big silver lining out of that whole thing.
Blessing. It was a blessing. Listen, I'm the first one to say this. How that, you know, how it happened was not very nice. But it ended in a very good way and a very good way.
Right. So somehow I got entangled in the snarl because I started filling in, I guess, when you were on the outs with David on his Patreon. So he would ask me once in a while to do it. And so somehow I think that made you angry because you thought I was siding with him or whatever. And then I think he came on a show with me once to talk about a little bit of like what the feud was. Now I can't even remember, but all I know is that people started sending me things saying, oh, Kim D does not like you and has some you know, words about you. And so I think I DM'd you and I just said, hey, listen, you don't know me. And I, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about you. And I understand you're having a feud with David, but that doesn't have anything to do with me. And I've heard you a couple times talk on your podcast about me and kind of get the facts wrong. And it bothered me. So I said, listen, if you want to talk about me, I'd like you to know who I am first. Because if you don't like me after you know me, that's fine. But if you don't know me and you talk badly about me, I had a problem with that. So I think we were able to work through that.
We really did. Listen, your DM was somehow hidden. So I didn't, you DM me and I didn't see it for like maybe 20 days later. So I see the DM and I'm like, oh my God, I would never want you to think that I ignored the DM. I felt terrible. So I immediately contacted you and said, Rachel, I would love to speak with you. You know, I would love to speak with you. I would love to straighten this out. Yes, I was like hurt by certain things. I wanted you to understand what upset me. Yeah. And we cleared the air immediately. We were fine. We wound up talking on the phone for a long time. We have a lot in common. So it worked out very well. Yeah. It's two adult women empowering each other and saying, you know what? Misunderstanding, like misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And we made it right, which I'm very happy about.
Right. And then, you know, I have been sent a couple other comments from people because I guess you have someone that you do the show with once in a while. And it's terrible that I can't remember her name at the moment, but I think you mentioned you were going to do my show. And she said, oh, you got to be careful of her because she's very scandalous, which still kind of bummed me out. Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't.
And it bummed me out because You didn't stick up for me, but it's fine because you still don't know me well enough. But I just want to remind you that just because someone's been scandalous in the past or been involved in a scandal, I wouldn't even call myself scandalous, by the way.
No.
Because I've been involved in a scandal, I've been able to learn from that, deal with it, become a better person. And I don't think it's fair that someone, especially a woman, wouldn't be all for second chances. So that hurt my feelings that she said that.
Well,
you know?
I really don't even know who that is. I really don't remember that.
It's the girl that used to be on the show, I think. I don't know. I'll have to think after the show and remind you.
Let me know.
Anyways, so let's move on from that. You have created a podcast that is obviously doing really well. I see your clips all the time. You've become the sort of guru on all things about Real Housewives of New Jersey. Can you talk about your podcast a little bit and what you cover, when it's on, all that stuff?
Yeah. My podcast, I film it in the studio every Wednesday, and then it's a Patreon. It drops every Saturday. Okay. So you have to join. I have two levels, two tiers. One is regular tier that you see my podcast. And then the other one is they get to do a virtual with me once a month. And we have so much fun. We all do a virtual and we all talk, and I was reading some of my book to them or whatever. So there are two tiers. With that said, what we do also is we do current events, hot topics. So we don't just talk about Jersey. We talk about all the different housewives, and we talk about what's in the news. Okay, what's in the news? And the only thing really we don't cover, which I would suggest no one does unless you have a political show, is politics. Okay. So other than that, we kind of talk about everything. And lately, a lot of people, my Patreons and my fans, I'm going to say, want to hear more about my life and things that I've done. So we do a lot of shows like that. We do fashion. We do a lot of, like, we'll put up the outfits that the girls wore on the reunion, or what they wore in all the different episodes, and we critique them. You know, I've been in fashion since I was 15. So we critique. And so we kind of have, it's just, we rounded it all out, almost like a Wendy Williams, Joan Rivers. We do it all.
Oh my God. I love that. Do you ever cover like true crime, or is that not your thing?
Not yet, but you never know. I mean, we would do that. We're doing some P. Diddy, you know, so we definitely covered some of that, and we will continue to do that.
And for people that haven't, you know, subscribed to your Patreon yet, do you have guests every week, or you have a co-host? Like, explain that a little.
I have a panel, meaning I have different people come. I have two regulars, Angel and Lorraine. My other girl, Barbie, who was like Miss Fashionista, she styled since she was a very young girl, all Hollywood, LA, all of that. So she'll come on and do some fashion. And I also have some of the podcasters that are New Jersey or wherever come on and they sit on the panel. This week, I have the hairdresser that they've been talking about that was at BravoCon with Danielle Cabral. So she's coming on the show. You know, so it's random. Whoever wants to sit in, sits in with me.
Well, that'll do really well since Lena was part of this last episode.
Well, so this is Karen. Lena and I talk. I have some quotes from her. Lena's a good friend of mine. But this is Karen, the one who supposedly all that happened in BravoCon, where she was put in that hotel. And now her and Danielle, she did free hair for like 3 years. And now they're like real enemies. So she's coming on to defend herself and how she worked really hard and didn't get any creds whatsoever. So I don't like that. You know, I don't like that. Okay. So she's coming on to tell her side of the story.
Right. Okay. So let's get into the Housewives of New Jersey, since you are such a guru and expert. And I think that we really want to get into it because so much has been in the news about this whole season. I mean, I feel like the fans have really talked about how dark this season has gotten, and more so than other seasons. And now the reunion has been canceled. What are your thoughts on that in general?
I know all sides. I'm friendly with all sides. One side was saying that they're going to be on the show and the other side was going to be fired. They were dug in. The other side was like, I'm staying. They're going to be fired. So they were dug in. No matter what you said to these people, no matter what you did, this was their belief. So I believe that last year, when Joe and Melissa Gorga did not go to Teresa Giudice's wedding, it's because they really believed the ship had sailed. Teresa was going to be off the show. So they dug in, they rolled the dice, and they didn't go to the wedding. And from Teresa's lips, to me, that was it for her. That was like all the stuff that she felt she took, all the things that were done against her. When she walked down that aisle and saw that her brother was not there, that was it for her. That was it. She was like, I'm done. So that's right from the horse's mouth. That's right from Teresa. Mm-hmm. So with that said, then there was a lot of behind the scenes things. These girls were all talking, all of them were talking to bloggers. And then some of the bloggers did a turnaround. They start revealing what the housewives were telling them. Some were sharing screeners. You get a screener before the show airs so that they would get their narrative out. These are all things that are always done, Rachel. But somehow somebody turned against one of them and some of them got caught. But they all do it. But this year it got dirty. And the reason why I think that it got this dirty is because all the truth is coming out now. They don't like each other. They really don't. Can't do a show with people who really don't like each other.
Right. So, I mean, for years, has it been building, or do you think it's they've always never liked each other and now it's finally coming to the head because they're hearing from these blogging sites and fans all the negative things that people are saying about them?
Teresa and Melissa have never liked each other. That I'm going to stand by that. They can deny it. They can say whatever they want. They have never liked each other from day one. So I'm going to stand by that. I think they tried to fake it in a good way. They tried to get past it for the show, the paycheck or whatever, but the distaste for each other, it got worse and worse.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the ever-fabulous, ever-iconic Jennifer Aniston. We all put our hair through the ringer, coloring, heat styling, stress aging, the list goes on and on, and now we've got the summer heat, which is a battle too. We're talking about sun, beach, and that ever-present humidity. Jen got tired of the struggle of having to choose between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. So she decided to create what she was looking for. Think of Lola V as your personal hair spa. Let's dive into Lola V, your ultimate summer hair saver. Created with the finest natural clinical ingredients, Lola V ensures your hair feels as luxurious and carefree as a summer breeze. Say goodbye to sun damage, tangled hair, and hello to shine, strength, and elegance. Summer is the season of confidence, and Lola V embodies the spirit. And here's a treat for you, our awesome listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolav.com. Just use the code Rachel at checkout. So the thing that I use every day is the detangler. Every time I wash my hair, which is basically daily, I love it. It's light, it's not too sticky, and it has a lovely shine. The other thing I really love is the restorative shampoo. I use that as my go-to shampoo. I don't use anything else right now. And people, honestly, they comment on my hair all the time. The scent also is really good. It's like zesty, citrus, calming, rose petal flavor. And I just love it. It smells good. And it kind of lasts. You really smell that walking, you know, down the street, you get a whiff of it. It smells so good. So check out all the Lola V products. Go to your website at lolav.com. As our loyal listeners, you will get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code Rachel at checkout. That's R-A-C-H-E-L. That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com. with promo code Rachel. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair will thank you. You know, I'm curious about how much of what we see on the show is their full lives. Like when the show's not on, are these people acting normal and having nice moments with each other and with their friends, or are their lives always chaotic like this?
I think that this cast, New Jersey, okay, in New Jersey, always New Jersey, not the other franchises. This is a tough show to infiltrate. This is a tough cast to infiltrate. It's a tough cast to mesh. These are some tough girls that live some interesting lives, okay? And some of them have a lot of secrets that when you come on a show like this, those secrets are coming out, Rachel. You know that when you become any kind of famous, your little secret becomes a big secret, okay? And a lot of them came on thinking that they were like Teflon Don, and you're not. It's coming out. with that said, there are not really too many true friendships. Mm-hmm. And when you start with that, that it's easily, they're easily broken. If you say one little thing, they get mad. You know, like I said in my podcast, I said, do you, when they canceled the reunion, I go, who won in this? Who won? You're all a bunch of babies. You're making more money in 3 months with a camera following you that most people make in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And you stomped your feet and you crossed your arms and you were big babies and you blew it. You flushed that money down the toilet bowl. You flushed the show down the toilet bowl. The producers are disgusted. Everybody's disgusted. They don't want to know nothing. This show will not be cast or spoken about until at least another 6 months. And that came right from Andy on the red carpet the other night. He goes, don't believe one word you say about a bummer that anyone says about casting. We're not even thinking about Jersey right now. We won't even think about it until 6 months from now. So what did they do? Really, what did they do to themselves? They shot themselves in the foot.
So do you think a reboot is something that's necessary? I saw on Daily Mail, there was a whole thing about what you said, but what's your opinion on if a reboot is necessary for this franchise?
I think a reboot would do well. That's my opinion. I think I heard that there are three younger girls, and I don't care about age, Rachel. I'm not sitting here. I'm older than all of them. I'm not sitting here talking about age. Mm-hmm. New York did it. And at first, everybody was like, we don't like them. We don't like them. They're coming back. Okay. People will grow to like them.
Do you like them?
Yeah. I'll be watching them again. I will. I think some of the stuff they do is a little not for me, but I'll still watch them. But I do believe that Teresa is a Bravo favorite. And somehow or another, she will stay with Bravo doing something. Whether, you know, I don't know about a spinoff. I don't know. I just don't see them saying goodbye to her. I don't think they're ready for that. She's, you know, she's still a big name. She's still a big draw. With that said, I can't speak for any of the other ones. I really can't.
Well, to what you're saying right now, which sister do you think is more important to the franchise?
Teresa. You know what? It's not even, listen, I don't have a problem with Melissa. I really don't. I think Joe Gorga is really the housewife and Melissa is the, you know, the mate. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's Joe Gorga who really, they met Melissa through Joe and Joe has been the staple and Melissa kind of kept a little bit quiet and a little bit in the background. She's coming now, she's fighting back, but he was really the housewife to me.
Can you see spinoffs happening and would people watch them, like something with Joe and Melissa and something with Teresa and Louie?
No, I see Teresa doing something. She's got the four girls. She's got a lot going on. Okay. With that said, I see Melissa in a different direction. And I even on my podcast gave her my opinion and I gave her some advice if she takes it. I would be talking to E right now about something to do with their fashion situation because she has the store. I might not like her fashion sense, but some people do. And I could see her being on that show with a microphone and there's something about her that I could see her doing something like that. And I basically said, honey, you're out of a job right now. They're not even going to speak about it for six months. Call them up. See if they're interested in you. I think she'd be good at it. And I think Dolores would be a good spokesperson for something. You know, she does a lot of charities. People love Dolores. I could see her going in that field.
Right. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of what we saw last night. Can you talk to me about the John Fuda and Teresa feud? I think that everyone's talking about this.
Okay, I'm going to listen. I was friendly with John. I'm having issues right now. I mean, not big ones, but I'm having a little bit of issues right now. Because I think that he has overreacted to certain things. Some things he had reason for. Now, with that said, I think they're both wrong with the feud. I think they're both wrong. I think Teresa should have never said what she said about him. Mm-hmm. And I think that he said certain things that he shouldn't have said. So they're both wrong. And that's Jersey. Mm. I'm not surprised because that's when you go on RHONJ, this is as down and dirty as you're going to get. So don't think anything's going to get past anyone. They're going to hit you between the eyes. They're going to call you whatever they want to call you.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Sephora, Boots, Argus, Temu, Adidas, Trip.com. The list is long. Save online at over 550 stores. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose bank transfer or PayPal. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, get a new outfit. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to rakuten.co.uk or get the app. That's Rakuten.
I think people that watch this are wondering, is a lot of this created because they thrive on the chaos? The producers want the chaos. They want this fighting, or like, because some of these arguments seem really dumb, quite frankly. And they seem like you're watching them and you're like, wait a minute, you're just twisting one word and you're harping on this one word and you're not arguing about real things here. It just seems so chaotic. And do you think that's created because the cast knows they will get more airtime, they will stay on, whatever it is for them? Or are the producers saying, all right, we've got to have an argument today? Like, what's the behind the scenes on that?
Some of it is we have to have an argument, okay? But with the Fuda thing, he was furious that she called him that. He was furious. And the way they got the information was the woman who had his child that he raised, she's been in jail. So he was furious that supposedly he thought that they spoke to her from jail and she said all these things about them and then they brought it onto the show. So his anger, he was furious and he still is, okay? So I don't think he ever expected that. I really don't think when coming on that show, he expected for this to come out.
Well, I can understand that, you know, when you feel like something in your past is being used against you now, that's a triggering thing. Obviously, his anger is because he's triggered. Maybe not necessarily.
Exactly.
Because so many people are talking about that in the press and his ex and all this stuff. So it's not Teresa. It's not coming out of Teresa's mouth.
No.
But the way that Teresa says these things, she does, from a viewer's standpoint, say it to get under their skin. And who cares if she said it in the past or in the future, whatever.
Yes.
She also did this with Jackie and, you know, regurgitating information about Jackie's husband cheating on her. And then kind of like throws the information out there and then says, well, I didn't say it. Someone else said it. So it should make it okay. And I think that's what's triggering about her personality because it doesn't seem like she's being a real friend, or it doesn't seem like she's being careful with how she, you know, regurgitates information. And it seems like it's to be hurtful. So, I mean, I can understand
right
of anger.
Can you? Yeah, no, that part I can understand. Yeah. But what Teresa said to me was they started it because last reunion, they were accusing Louis of doing certain things that he insists he didn't do. So why this came out with her, of course, she hit below the belt. I do too. You know, I get it because I do too. So she feels that he attacked her husband last year. So now they're coming back this season. Do you understand? So now when Rachel says to her, you know, he's not a gentleman, meaning Teresa's husband goes, excuse me, my husband is a gentleman. And that's when she hits hard, you see? So she was provoked. Now, would most people say that? No. Would I say that? I don't know. You know, I don't know how far I go. It depends. But Teresa's very protective, clearly, of her husband. You know, I think you could call Teresa any name you want. You mess with her husband or her kids, she flips out.
She flips out. Yeah. Okay. So I think another thing that is a little bit curious for people is where the finances come from both John and Louis, right? So he's not a valet parker, right? I mean,
he owns a valet business called Valet King.
Okay. And I get, I mean, it's kind of funny how she was going below the belt on that, but you know, if it's not true, I don't know why you get so upset about it. It's just kind of laughable. But just for listeners, what is it that he does and what is it that Louis does that they make so much money that they can live this nice life? Because I think it's very curious.
Okay. So John Fuda comes from money. His mother owns Fuda Tile, which is huge out here in Jersey. Huge. Okay. But that doesn't mean that he made his money from his mom. Mm-hmm. He started Valet King years ago. As a matter of fact, one of my posh fashion shows was done at a Porsche dealership. And his Valet King, this is funny, valeted the cars. The best thing, now also Son Cubano, I just found out from a podcast, he did the valet for that night too, where me and Joe Gorga get into it and call each other all kinds of names where I call him a midget. Mm-hmm. So like this kid's been working hard for a while. Now, other businesses, I don't know. I know he's involved in the Fuda Tile. Mm-hmm. He has Valet King. He doesn't live a larger than life. He has a nice home in Franklin Lakes. He's got a home down the shore. They don't live large like Louis and Teresa. They don't mm-hmm. go on these crazy vacations with private jets and all that. They live a nice suburban Franklin Lakes life.
Right.
You know, yeah.
And what about Louis? Because I know like Margaret has accused Louis of spending all of Teresa's money. And we've seen there's been a couple of lawsuits. Yeah. What does he do?
I don't know what he does. I still haven't, you know, I met Louis. He was very lovely to me. He's obsessed with my show and he's the first one to say it. It's really funny. He got caught and when me and Teresa weren't talking, he got caught in the garage watching my show. And at that time it was $10 a month. Teresa walks into the garage, almost like he was watching porn or something. And wait, so she goes to him, "You're paying $10 to listen to her show." He's like, oh, and he gets caught and he goes off. Now we have the lunch. We make up before he left the lunch. He joined my Patreon. It was so cute. He really, that's his, you know, he just loves it. And he gets a kick out of me. I get a kick out of him. I don't know what he does, but I know the business that he was in that laid him off because of the show. And when I say laid him off, he was a partner. He made very good money mm-hmm. with that business. Don't know. I don't know about this technical stuff and computers. And I don't know about that. But he did not squander Teresa's money. That I know for sure. You know, Teresa does well. But when Teresa met Louis, she was trying to sell her house. Like, remember, she had to pay a lot of money back. She has four daughters that she supports herself. So this wasn't this multi-millionaire that Louis took advantage of. If anything, Louis helped her. You know, he was like the knight in shining armor. What's going on now with the money? I don't know.
Okay, so wait. You said you're back to being friends with Teresa. Are you still friends with Teresa right now?
Yes.
Okay. Give me some qualities that you love about Teresa.
Okay, well, when Teresa and I, back when, we were like sisters. We were on the phone 17 times a day. We had so much fun. Like, she'd be like, Kim, because I knew a lot about New York at the time. And remember, she got married younger. She had the kids, and I was out bouncing. She's, where are we going today? What are we doing? Where are we going? And when we filmed, all we did was laugh. We would go out and, like, have a couple drinks and eat. I had fun with Teresa. You know, I did. I liked her. I loved her children. I was at her house. The kids all loved all my dogs. You know, I just liked her. She's a Taurus. I'm a Taurus. Jacqueline's a Taurus. We got along. We just got along good. And I was with Michael at the time when I first met her, my boyfriend who passed away. She loved Michael. He got a kick out of her. She was fun. And the things that she says are cute and funny. And then, you know, something happened. I really don't know what happened. I know that I was told that when she made up with her brother and Melissa for the show, that I was kind of like, I really don't need Kim D. Now, she insists when I had lunch with her that she did not say that. Jacqueline called her and said, yes, she did, you know, because we're all good friends now. So, you know, I was hurt. I was hurt. And I became an enemy because I felt she got me off the show. Of course, I came back to the show as her enemy. But we always made good TV. Right. And Teresa and I are the type of person that she can call me a name, I can call her a name. And then the next day, if we said we're sorry, we're going to be good. Like, we're fine now. We don't even remember what we said about each other. Like, we're good. She wrote, by the way, she wrote a foreword in my book.
Did you? I read it. I'm going to bring it up in a little bit.
Listen to me. I mean, that's shocking because honestly, I'm going to come right out and say, I don't think she's ever wrote a forward for anyone. I could be wrong, but I don't think she did. So that puts me in a very good place with her. And that shows me that she really would like to make up for maybe what had happened to me in the past.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get to your book in a few minutes, but just a few more questions about this season. Okay, sure. you brought up Jackie. It is a little shocking that Jackie seems so in Teresa's camp this season and arguing so much with people that are, I'm going to say against Teresa, but that's right. Just a loose term. Explain that, because it does seem like if someone comes after your relationship, your husband, calling all sorts of names, kind of making fun of your eating disorder, I think that would be hard to forgive, but you explain it to me.
Okay. In her book, she writes that Teresa was the reason why she fell off the wagon, why her eating disorder got worse. Mm-hmm. But I believe, these are all the things I believe. I believe she realized that it was Margaret that heard the rumor about Evan. So once she put this all together and realized we're on a show, and I'm sure Teresa got the tap on the back about the cheating rumor, because everyone was talking about it. It happened at the poker game. Joe Beningo had brought it up. All the guys were talking about it. It was a girl from the gym. Once it's brought up on the show, they're going to make you bring it up. They're going to tap one of you on the shoulder who gets over $1 million to say about, I heard the rumor. That's what Jersey's all about.
Right.
I believe the rumor's true. My belief, my opinion, because if it wasn't true, you're not going to cry about it. You're going to brush it off like, what? Yeah, okay, sure. But if you have a sense as a woman, you're a woman, I'm a woman, that he didn't answer that phone that day. Where was he the time when I texted him and he said his phone was shut off? You get this feeling, and now you're thinking, maybe this could be true. And it hits you. And when you first get hit, that shock to your stomach, I believe part of her believed it was true. And then when she put two and two together, she realized it was Margaret, because Margaret lives in Tenafly.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm just curious, did anyone do any research on this chick? Did anyone ever contact the girl and say, did this happen?
I heard, yes, but I heard she's married too.
Okay. So she wanted to keep it quiet.
On the down low. I don't think either one of them wanted it to come out.
Got it. And do you think that Jackie really knows the truth now? Do you think behind closed doors they had this conversation and that's why she seems so, okay with moving beyond it, because she knows the truth? Or why does she seem so okay with it?
Because, well, Evan's not okay with it. When Andy asked her last night on the live, she said, Evan doesn't want me to talk about it.
Right.
He wants it to go away. So I do believe they must have had the talk. I don't know how much he owned up to.
Right.
I don't know. We're not behind closed doors, but there was definitely some talk between them.
And some union of like, this is how we're going to move forward. Yeah.
Correct.
It's pretty obvious.
It's obvious.
The outcome is. Yeah.
It's obvious.
Okay. Let's talk about Margaret for a second. How is your relationship with Margaret, incidentally?
I am okay with Margaret. I don't take on people's enemies.
Okay, that's an interesting point you just made. So I think that is a huge part of this show, that people want other people to take on their enemies and feel really betrayed if those people don't side with them, which I get.
Right.
It's happened to me before. I've watched people become enemies about me in a way that's like, what is happening here? And whatever that saying is, your enemy's enemy or becomes your friend or whatever.
I'm not going to take on anyone's. There's no reason. I'm not in high school. I didn't do it in high school. I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Margaret seems to be getting into it a lot with the cast. Do you think it's true that she was asking cast members that if Louis came back or Teresa, that they should not be on the show? I know that last night Jackie said that she had been approached by Margaret and she had said that, but Jen Fessler said she never heard that.
I believe it.
You do.
I believe they would have liked to have done a walkout. I believe that they tried to band together to ice Teresa out. That was their plan. I believe that. I do believe that. And I know Teresa believes it. We all believe that. I think it was pretty clear. I think it was very evident on the show and what's going on now. And I think it was very clear.
Yeah.
And look, they iced themselves out.
Right. Okay. And what are your thoughts on her stirring the pot with Dolores by sending her the text message
I
where.
loved it. I loved it. I would do it.
What was the word? Gross? What was
Slob.
The word?
Slob.
Slob. Yeah. That's kind of a tough
Terrible
word to
word.
come back
Terrible
from.
word. I think Dolores handled it very well. I love, listen, Dolores and I are very close. We're an everyday talker. She's on Traders now. She's doing well. Listen, I would have handled it even worse. Dolores handled it like a lady. I don't think I would have handled it as well. That's a pretty disgusting word.
So, yeah. And Dolores is a very, first of all, I think I'm, her, she to me is the best one so far.
Love
in this
her.
Path. I like her. She's very even keel. I loved how she handled that situation at dinner with Paul talking about, so when are you going to get divorced? And his attitude, I did not like at all, but I thought she handled it very calmly, even though he's like, well, you're getting mad. Well, yeah. Why wouldn't she get mad? But what are your thoughts? What is there any tea on how much closer he is to getting divorced or why doesn't he want to? I think that's weird.
Listen, I had a lot to say and I love Dolores and she might not be happy with what I said, but I love her like a sister. I would have got up and walked out. I would have.
Right.
I would never allow anyone to talk to me like that. He was really angry. He was red in the face and he swore.
Yeah.
And I just feel this, Rachel, if he does it on camera, international TV, what does he do behind closed doors? So I am not happy with him right now. I'm really not. And I believe Dolores is not only beautiful, she's smart. She raised two fabulous, fabulous children. That one's a vet, and she's the daughter is a veterinarian who goes to Africa and saves giraffes and rhinos. Yes, and wears a bulletproof vest. Her son is gorgeous, sweet. Now, like she has her own home paid for. She's got money in the bank. A man couldn't say this much to me without me telling him, don't let the door hit you in the ass. So, you know, we're different when it comes to that. You know what I mean? She listened, right. There must be a thing that's keeping her there. I don't know, but I think it was disrespectful.
It really was. And it also seemed, you know, I hated his comment of like, well, even if I get divorced tomorrow, what do you think I'm going to get on one knee and propose to you the next day? What kind of comment is that? I thought that
terrible.
Was terrible. And she did
terrible.
Not deserve that. And it's, listen, it's more about the commitment, right? And they live together and they have this commitment. And she says he wants to bring her in on his business. Okay, great. But to have that, you know, sense of, you know, the realness, the tangibleness,
yes,
of like, he's even proposed to me. He's making
right.
It known that this is his intention, you know, it obviously would mean a lot. And the way he pushed back, it made me not a fan of his at all. And, you know, I don't want to say that I hope she can do that. She feels she can do better because if she loves him and I don't know all the ins and outs of their relationship, but she's
right.
Obviously heavily invested in that. And I would like to see her have the happiness that her ex-husband
me
is
too.
Now getting.
Yeah.
Do you think that makes her jealous at all? Or do you think she actually.
No, no, no. She's very happy for Frank and she wants Frank to be settled. And they love Brittany. They love her. I mean, Brittany is closer to Gabby, the daughter's age, and they're best friends.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like Brittany just fits in. Brittany is quiet. She's sweet. She's everything that you would want someone to bring into your family.
Yeah.
You know, I've known Brittany for years. She did spray tans for me at Moxie. You know, she's come a long way. She's a doll. And listen, she's really happy for him. She wanted Frank to settle down. And I, like you said, I would like her to find the happiness Frank found. And
yeah.
I think she gave herself a chance. She could.
Yeah. Well, I really like her. I want the best.
Me
for her.
Too.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Teresa giving her brother a housewarming gift?
I wouldn't have. I was a little surprised at that. It wasn't her idea.
It was Louie's, you mean?
She told me it wasn't her idea. It was Louie and someone else that's influential in her life. And I personally don't think it went over too well. I wouldn't do it, you know, but, you know, Teresa, I mean, I think no matter what, even though she says that she's done, and I believe she is, I think she's still deeply, deeply hurt by losing the relationship with her brother. She loved her brother. Loved him.
Well, I mean, you can almost see that, though. it very obviously in the ways that she does that little thing, even if it wasn't her idea, she wouldn't have made the effort. She
wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, she wouldn't have made the effort to give that bottle to the Fudas, who she's feuding with, right? And then give it to Dolores as a second attempt to make sure it gets to the party. So, you know, to me, that seems like in her way, it's an olive branch of like, hey, there could have been a phone call he gave her after or whatever. It could have opened some doors that she didn't necessarily want to say, oh yeah, I want this to happen, but she was maybe curious of what that would have started. So what were your thoughts to Joe throwing the note in the fire? I wanted to know what the note said.
You know, I'll find out. I'll find out what the note said. Well, I'm not surprised at Joe. I am not surprised at anything he does. You have to remember, I was around when I was on the phone with Teresa the night before the christening. When she goes to the first day of filming with her brother, and he calls her garbage, tells her, get the F out of here, you're garbage. Nothing, whatever, he called me filthy, filthy names. He put his fist up to me, Melissa, oh. Nothing surprises me. I don't think much of Joe Gorga. I really don't. And he has no couth. The things that he does on screen, I mean, the things that I watched the other day with them on the golf course, pulling their pants down and putting the bottle, the poor waitress that came to one of his parties and he was taking the bottle and like, they probably drove there.
He acts like a little kid for sure.
Yeah, like really, you know, and it's obnoxious. He's a, you know, going to be 50 and he's just obnoxious. So I wasn't surprised. He likes grandiose. He likes to do grandiose things and he has a very bad temper.
Yeah.
Very bad.
Right. Okay. I want to get into the fashion show that we witnessed on camera. I know that you are very involved in fashion. You had your store, your, you know everything about clothing lines, fashion in general. I had a store. I had my own clothing line. It was also for kids called Wyatt Lily. And, you know, it won all sorts of awards. So my question for you is, what was your thought on Bougie Kids?
I didn't look at the fashion too much because I was so taken aback by what she had said to the little girl. If you don't smile, I'm going to in your face.
Yeah.
We did that on my podcast. I'm so taken aback by the way she behaves and how, again, classless, that I think I was so shocked by what she said. I didn't get a chance to even look at the fashions, but you know, kids are kids. I like when they're froofed out. And I like them in leopard and like, you know, I like all that kind of stuff. You know, that's not the way I dress my son, like flamboyant. I was very more collegiate. But, you know, I'm not going to put down her fashion. I'm just going to say her fashion, the way she dresses. Oh, my God. I mean, I have offered my help number of times. I'm like, this is bad. This is bad.
Do you think she says things like what she said to that kid to be funny, or do you think, and she gets it wrong, or you think she just really has no class and like doesn't know how to communicate properly?
Both. She said it to be funny with no class. Okay. When you have no class, you say things like that. I mean, you have no couth.
Right. So now I want to ask you about the Danielle and Jen feud. It seems really physically aggressive, like the way that they're showing next scenes. And now that we've heard that there's no reunion, I'm curious if you think that this has something to do with how big this exploded. People think that the explosion, I think for a long time, was going to end up being just Melissa and Teresa, but this seems to be getting out of hand too somehow.
She picked up a glass pitcher and threw it, which could have really gotten ugly, which is very dangerous. Danielle Cabral picked up a glass pitcher of water and threw it. And it was really shocking, the way I hear it. It was very shocking. Jen said something to Danielle about Nate's anatomy, saying that he's got like, you know, man boobs. You know what I mean? And that really put Danielle over the edge. Okay. And I guess it was building up. But this was the second time that it got physical between Danielle. They were on pause for a little while because it got physical a while before that. This one I heard was really bad. Glass broken. People could have really got hurt. What if glass went in someone's eye? So yeah, I mean, there's things happened in this finale that blew the producers' minds, you know, and no one's talking about it. They're on, you know, they're They're not, the girls aren't even getting screeners anymore. They're not even getting the screeners before. They're not, yeah. This is, they're on a tight lock. They're on a gag order. They're not even allowed to go on podcasts and talk about the show at all.
Yeah.
So there's some ugly things that happened.
So I'm just curious, you know, with all the stuff with Reality Reckoning and all this talk about how people are getting in trouble and, you know, then blaming it on producers, this doesn't seem like it was created by producers. This seems like a feud that was building up based on what people are saying. And it wasn't really for the cameras because obviously it backfired. I mean, how dangerous do you think it has to be before they say, okay, listen, this is not happening. You're fired. We're going to, you know, make an example out of you. Like what, at what point is it enough? Because I also think it creates a lot of discourse between fans and treats and shows people how to treat people terribly. Yeah. Don't you think? Cause they really look up to these women.
Well, that's why the reunion's canceled.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're getting punished. They're losing a lot of money. They get it. Listen, they all expected a check on June 27th to show up at the reunion. It's a 3-part series. What happens is the producers lose a ton, millions. The editors, the producers, the cast, makeup art, everybody loses in this. So it had to be pretty bad for them to cancel it.
So, and is not, are none of the girls talking to each other right now because they're so upset about how it all went down and the fact that they're losing money?
Jen and Teresa are friends. Jen, Aiden, and Teresa are friends. They talk. Dolores is doing triggers, so we'll see what happens when she gets home. Margaret and Jen Fessler and Margaret and Melissa are still friendly. The rest, I'm really not sure about.
Yeah. Okay, if you had been on the season this year, whose side would you have taken?
I mean, there's a couple different things that I would have done. I'm definitely going to, with Joe and Melissa, I'm definitely taking Teresa's side. Okay, on that. Because I know the inside scoop as to why they didn't go to the wedding. Okay, so I know where it started. Margaret and...
Meaning that Melissa thought that Teresa was done and therefore they didn't need to go.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay, so I would have been on Teresa's side for that. As far as Margaret, I would have stayed neutral. Jen Fessler and Jackie, I don't like them at all. So I would basically, you know, really don't care. Dolores and I would have had a ball, had fun. Danielle Cabral, I think, is classless. I would have, and in the beginning, I was good friends with Rachel and John. Some things have happened since that I feel that John is not acting right to me. So our friendship or our, you know, mutual respect for each other is kind of put on a pause right now. I want to see where he's going with this. But I think I would have been neutral. Except for Teresa and Joe and Melissa, I would have had to take a side and it would have been Teresa's side.
Right. And that probably would have been pretty explosive in the whole group anyway.
Oh, yeah.
What is your reaction to Dino Manzo's ex-husband's conviction?
You know, I'm so conflicted. I'm going to tell you why. Do I believe that what he did was 1,000% wrong? Absolutely. Of course. Of course. I had a situation like that with my son's father who has passed away now. I know what that's like. I like Tommy. Tommy's a really good guy. I really like him. And it's so hard for me to accept that his emotions got away from him. Mm-hmm. And if he did do this, he stooped to that. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm so conflicted because I really like him as a person to me, but I would never, ever condone what was done. Ever, mm-hmm. ever. Ever.
Right. Okay. How many seasons were you on the show? Six?
At least six. Yeah.
Okay. Is there something that you learned from being on the show?
Is there something I learned from being on the show? You know, honestly, I'm going to be honest and say this. No. And I think it's because of the life that I've led. Mm. I went on the show to have fun. And if I needed to fight with someone because I wanted to fight with them, I fought with them. If I was going out for dinner with them and I just had fun, I didn't take anything personal. I didn't get emotional about it. I don't think of things that way. So I didn't learn. I loved it. I loved it, Rachel. I loved it. Nothing fazed me. Like, I even when Joe's calling me these filthy, filthy names, look what happened. I said, you're a little midget. I play with the big boys. And I got the most money the next season. My book is called My Life with the Big Boys. I mean, look what it did for me. And that I didn't even know that was coming out. Yeah. I had never said that before in my life. That so you just would, blurted out of my mouth.
So you would do it again, obviously.
1,000%. 1,000%.
And you said earlier that you love the Housewives franchises in general. What's your favorite one and who's your favorite cast member?
I'm going to say Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And at one point it was Lisa Rinna. I got a kick out of her. And I think right now, and I think Erica Jane was right there with her. I'm going to say right now, Erica Jane. She's my favorite. I met her at her book signing too. She's fabulous. I love her. I love everything about her. I loved when she said, I'm going to give up arguing with you girls for Lent. Like that pissed, like that. She a lover. I just love her.
Right. What do you think about the new cast that they announced? Is it Meg Tilly that they announced is coming on?
I think some of them are going to do well. Some of them aren't. Mm. I love Dorit. I get a kick out of Dorit. I love the way she speaks. I don't like, oh my God, what's her name? I don't like one of them at all. I can't think she's like always the race card. I can't even think of her friggin' name because I guess I try to block it out. I don't like people who do that. Kyle, I think, is the staple. Mm-hmm. You know, Kathy always brings good TV, Kathy Hilton. Am I a big fan of her? No, because I don't like what she did to her daughter at a young age. Listen, I think this is going to be interesting, Cass. I did like it best when Lisa Rinna was on with Dury, with Erica Jane, you know, but I go with the flow. Meg right. Tilly, I don't see it. I think she's very sweet. I think Sutton's funny. I get a kick out of Sutton.
I like Sutton.
So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm curious about your thoughts on Kim Zolciak and her drama always. And I saw that right now she's filming a reality show. So she got herself some money and got herself back in TV. Do you have a feeling about her? Do you know her? Have you ever met her?
You know, I did have never met her. I'm sad for her because I do believe that this guy she married really loved her and he gave up his family for her. And yeah. I think that money rules her situation. And I have a shopping addiction. I love to shop. I mean, I'm going to admit it. I love to shop. Her addiction goes a little bit further than anything I could ever think of. And I think that that's what caused most of the situation between the two of them. And I think he was just a real down home, nice guy and got wrapped up. And she's, listen, I hate the word narcissist. I hate it. But I think she's just, you know, me. I think she's all about me. And she had all these kids. And now, like, now what are you going to do? You know, yeah. Like the two of them are fighting so bad that the kids are calling the police. You know, I'm sad.
She seems a little bit addicted to getting the press or getting the public's involvement. I mean, the fact that she's constantly posting weird things, it seems yes. a little unhinged. And you would think that you would want that to be private because it is pretty embarrassing, the back and yes. forth between them.
Her daughters, I know her older daughter was mortified over certain things that she was doing. Not the oldest, the one... I'm not familiar. Like I know their names, but I forget. But the one that's like her two other daughters, not
Brielle
the older one. Not
Brielle,
the other one. I know she came out on an Instagram and was mortified by something that her mama did to Croy. Yeah. So they're not, no one's happy with this. You know, yeah. No one's happy with this.
Okay. And then finally about this Housewives stuff, do you have any predictions that we don't know about that we would, you know, would find interesting about what's going to happen next season, if there is going to be a next season, any storylines you see that people don't know about?
I think, well, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. Every single one of the cast, and I know them all, were completely sideswiped and shocked over the fact that they're not getting a reunion. They shot themselves in the foot, all of them. They played their cards. No one's bigger than Bravo. You're not bigger than Sirens. They were warned. I even gave them advice, like, what are you doing? Like, whatever. I don't think you're going to see some of them back. I don't, you might not see any of them back. That's the only thing that I can tell you. That's my gut feeling. I think that when people like Andy Cohen and those producers lose this kind of money, I think they have a bad taste in their mouth and they're going to say, you know, Rachel, we lost all this money with you. Why are we going to give you another chance? We've asked you several times to please do this or to please do that. You bucked us all the way. Now we lost all this money on the reunion. Why am I going to give you another chance? That would be me.
And also when it borders on dangerous and physical, they really do have to step in because—
And they're dug in. And these people, they don't want to make up.
Yeah.
They don't want to make up.
Right. And you never know. It's almost like a warning sign. If they can't, if they cannot stop, if they cannot control themselves, I don't think Bravo wants to be anywhere around.
I think they have enough lawsuits, Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have enough lawsuits, Bravo.
Exactly. Okay, I'd like to get now into your book because I got it. I got a copy of it. I thought it was fantastic. I was able to get halfway through and it's actually really, really good, Kim. So
thank you, Rachel.
I'm very proud of you. Everyone should get this book. It's called My Life with the Big Boys. You have some major endorsements in the forewords.
Now
you have Dolores, Jacqueline, Siggy, Teresa. And then I saw that there was a space for Margaret. Is Margaret not?
Yes, in the back, because remember I met them later in life. So in the back, I have John Fuda, who wrote something for me. And Margaret wrote like a cute little thing on her, you know, a quote that she feels about me. She feels that my life was much more interesting than Housewives, okay, my real life. So they put that in, they signed it for me. But the reason why they're not in the forward is because I met them after. Like, you know, they're like towards the end of this book. But this was really something I started years ago while my mother was still alive. And then something happened with the first author. She got very, very sick. Haven't heard from her. I don't even know, God forbid, if she's still around. Mm. And then I got the thing happened with David. I met Julie, who does my podcast. She's, you know, part of the podcast. Andrew, who owns the studio. And she happens to be a author and a publisher also. So God brought me to her and we collabed. And this is what we came up with. And I love what she did. What she did was she took my story with what I've been through. Okay. And she made it into almost like a woman's empowerment, like learn from these mistakes, learn from these relationships, learn what I've learned. I went on Botched. And when you go on Botched, you have to do a 500 questionnaire. And when I went in front of the psychiatrist, he said, I've never seen anything like this. And I said, well, I don't think I'm going to be surprised because I don't feel like I'm like anyone else. My brain, right? He said, you answered every question like a man. You have a man's brain. So I feel, when I wrote this book, that women should understand how I maneuvered my way through these relationships and things, because I think like a man. So no one was able to get over on me. I saw through. I had nice relationships that I walked away from because I grew. So I would love to give women advice. I'd love for this book to become almost like, I don't know, you know, like something that a woman could read and say, oh, I went through that and this is what happened afterwards. Like I have another chance at life, or I could be in another relationship and be happier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's really, and what got me, how I was raised and what gave me the balls to act like this and to not care what people think and say what I feel. People never understood that and they didn't know anything about me. So I really wanted to put it out there. It wasn't just boasting about things. It was really, honestly, I do give my friends a lot of advice. They do look up to me, even like Teresa, you know, she always, so I hope I help people with it. I think they'll have fun.
So it really reads like an anthology of the most influential people in your life. And what really stands out to me is like, you know, you see a lot of these reality stars who have come into our lives because they've been on the screen and you kind of don't know the reality behind them, but you know, the reality of what you see on TV. You really strike me as somebody who has been authentic through it all and have a real connection to people in your life, to things. It's not like you're creating a storyline ever for a circumstance to be part of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
To be part of the community. And I think that really reads true. I found it, you know, it kind of almost brought me to tears. I'll tell you when in your book, you said, you know, what I wanted to be when I was a little girl was nothing like a wife. I just wanted to be a wife. And I thought it's making me cry. It made me feel very connected to you because it was a very vulnerable statement that you made.
Yeah.
And to see that you're not someone's wife right now, but you're so powerful and all the things you've gotten through, and you talk about all the different men in your life and how you've lost, you really know grief, you know sadness.
Yes.
How do you get through, you know, your life with the grief that you've been through?
Okay. That is so important. That's such an important question, because a lot of my people that follow me, they come to me on my DMs and they're like, you have no idea how you changed my life. I'm like, and this is before the book. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, when you talked about the fact that your whoever passed away, mother, father, fiance, boyfriend, they want you to be happy. They want you to celebrate Christmas. They want you to celebrate the holiday. They would never want you to be miserable and be upset. That's not what they would want. Now you have an angel on your shoulder. Now you have someone. I don't believe anyone ever leaves you. Okay. So that's my thought. And that's what I believe. I light my lavender candle every day. I believe my mother is in my house everywhere. I believe that she is ecstatic over the book. When we were doing the photo shoot, I sent a video to Dolores. And Dolores goes, Kim, I can't believe this. I go, she goes, your mother's face was on the video. It was my body with my mother's face. Dolores loved my mother. And one of the girls that was here with me, she's kind of like a little psychic. And she goes, oh my God, Kim, your mother's here. And I believe that. See, I believe it with no thoughts at all. I believe it. So what I tell people is celebrate, even though you're devastated. You're devastated. The grief comes and it goes. My grief comes and it goes. I could be sitting watching a commercial and I start bawling. Then other things can happen and my Christmas comes, I'm happy, whatever. Grief has its moments, but I believe the people that have passed want you to be happy. So with that said, one of my people that follow me, she said, my father or my mother had just died. I don't remember which one it was. And she said, we weren't going to celebrate Christmas. We were not. When I saw what you said on your podcast, I invited everyone, my whole family, to my house, and we celebrated Christmas. Now, that makes me cry. That makes me cry because I'm like, I can't believe I affected someone that way. So that's what I believe. So when you believe that death is not an ending and you can get past that, it's never easier, but it's kind of easier. I talk to my mother. I talk to Michael all the time. Mm-hmm. My lights are blinking. I'm like, all right, enough, Michael. The lights go out. I had floods. I'm like, because they come through electricity. I talk to them like they're here.
Right.
And I can feel them. I can feel them.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they ever left me. Those are the two most, like my father, you know, not so much. I was very close, but it's my mother and Michael. We were like, the bonds were really, really there. And I just still believe they're here. I think that's why I've been single for 11 years. Because yeah. I believe like Michael's, somebody, one of the psychics said, Michael's still in your bed. Like nobody else is going to make your bed because he's still there. You know, it's wild.
Like
it's a wild feeling.
Like you're almost in love with the ghost still a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's very true what you said about kind of seeing the signs and wanting, letting those signs in, but being able to be present in the moment and live your life. I recently told a story on my podcast, and so I won't get into it again, but how my life was affected. Obviously, I think, you know, I lost my fiance in the World
Terrible.
Trade Center. And then also I lost my father when I was 15. He was only 44 to a
Terrible.
Cocaine overdose, all of a sudden. And I was in boarding school and my headmaster had to tell me. And, you know, when you go through those things and you lose men in your life, it makes you very strong. It makes you not trust that people are going to stay. It makes you almost too strong for your own good.
I agree.
And I spent many years living in the what if. What would it have been like if they were still here? That I was missing out, that they were missing out. But once something happens and you're able to say, they lived their life to the fullest and the life they were supposed to live. And I'm the one living. And I cannot live like I died too, you know? And live
I agree.
And so it's so important for people that are really going through grief. You got to get up. You got to get out the door. You got to get dressed. And it doesn't mean you love the person any less. It doesn't mean that, you know, they would be upset that your life is going on without them. They would be very happy. And I think that is great advice.
And you know what I did tell my people also, when my mother passed, I was okay. And then once I sold her home, I was like a basket case. And I went on Zoloft for a couple of months. You know, I had to. I couldn't get off the chair. My anxiety, it wasn't depression. My anxiety at a whole time high. And I had to function. I'm a single, my son's 34 years old. That's still not the point. I'm alone paying for my own house, my dogs. So I couldn't go to lay in my bed for 6 months or 3 months and do nothing. So I did. I started a very low dose. And I'm going to tell you, it really helped me a lot. And, you know, I'm not here to promote medications or anything, but sometimes that's what you need, that little jolt. Stay on it as long as you need, whatever. And I needed it. I feel good now. You know, I feel good. But, you know, I couldn't, like, it was the anxiety. It was the panic attacks, the anxiety. That's why I went on it. You know, I couldn't, I've been dealing with anxiety for a long time and it just got worse.
Yeah, no, I understand that. All right. So quickly talk about your dating right now, your dating life. Are you on any dating apps?
No.
Have you ever been?
I don't do well with that. Listen, it's hysterical. We, as a joke, a friend of mine, I think last year, a year and a half, went on Bumble, didn't work out. Some people didn't believe it was me. Then I went on, we did a show and I had this doctor come on, who was doctor of relationships. Just try Hinge. It just doesn't work out. I don't meet anyone on there that, listen, if I saw like a guy that I was attracted to, and I would meet him for somewhere that people know me. I'd probably go to the steakhouse that I go to all the time. So I'm afraid, I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to that.
Right.
But I haven't seen anyone that I'm very shallow. I have to have a physical attraction. You know,
okay.
I admit
that. So it has to be physical. You don't care if he has money or if he's nice.
He's got to have something. I'm not looking to have he doesn't have to have 50 million in the bank, but I'd like to have someone. I don't go out that often. I don't need as much as I used to. I don't like to travel or anything anymore, but I have to tell you a secret that I can't tell you who it is. I have a crush on someone who is single. No one would ever believe that it's somebody like him. He is a major figure. He is worth a ton of money, has nothing to do with the money, but he's very powerful. And he's a major speaker. And he has the same beliefs as I do. And he is single. And I just found out that his daughter loves me. His daughter's older, you know. And you never know with this, because this is someone that I look up to. I like power. I like powerful men. You have to be a real manly man. I don't like these little wimpy guys. I don't like metrosexual guys with their, you know, he's burly. He's manly. And if I got a call tomorrow and said, listen, he doesn't live in this state. I'm sending a plane or, a first class ticket. I would meet him in a second, but this is only one person in 11 years that I could say that with.
Right.
And I don't even know him. I only know. Yeah.
So you've never met him. He doesn't know you have a crush on him.
I think he knows now. I think because the daughter was told he's wrapped up in something right now. He's wrapped up in something, not a relationship. He's not in a relationship, but he's wrapped up in something that I feel he's distracted. It's not the right time. In a couple months, she's going to make her move. I'll make my move. And even if we just become good friends, you know, but I admire this man. And I think that's what it takes. I have to admire them.
I totally agree with that. It's been very hard for me to meet anyone because I feel like I really need to respect them. And people like you and I have been through a lot and are talked about a lot and we have a lot of opinions and we have a strong personality and we have gotten ourselves, we are the man and the woman in our lives.
1000%.
If a man shows up, he better be more powerful than me because I think I'm really powerful. I get myself through everything. And also you are a man and the woman for all the dogs that you have. And
absolutely.
I think you should marry a veterinarian.
You're so cute. Well, that would work.
That would work.
It would work.
Also the dogs would all feel very comfortable and safe and you'd feel safe. I think that would be a good match for you.
Listen, it's so cute because different men, listen, I flirt, Rachel, don't get me wrong. When I'm out, I see men or whatever and they'll tease and we'll talk once in a while. I don't bring up my dogs immediately, but let's say I get to know them and they know I have all these dogs and they're like, do you sleep with all those dogs? And I'm like, well, that's not something you need to worry about. Like, you ain't making it up to that bed. If anything, if I did decide to be with somebody, it wouldn't be in my house, it would be in their house, you know? So yeah, I mean, someone says that they're out anyway, just for even that comment.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Okay. What's next for you? Are we going to see you in any television shows? Are you going to try and get on Traders? I think you'd be great.
I would do it.
You would. Okay. I still think, are you a fan of Love is Blind?
I've never watched that.
Oh my God. You have to watch it. You'll be obsessed with it. Do you know the concept? People meeting between a wall through a wall?
Yeah, and they because they just listen to the person, right?
Yeah, I still think that they should do a celebrity version or whatever, or
okay.
People that have been through it that have a hard time meeting the love of their life because right. When you Google them, there's so much about them. So
right.
It could be like you, me, Kathy Griffin, Renee Graziano, whoever. All these people that people can Google us and might have an opinion, but if they meet our personality through, a screen,
Might
find the love of our lives. So
that's hysterical.
Yeah,
that's
so
really
you should
cute.
Watch
yeah,
it,
let's do it, Rachel. Put it out in the universe. We'll put it out in the universe.
So
listen,
so what's
right
new
now,
for you?
Right now, I'm obsessed with my podcast. I love doing it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing book signings. I'm going to do small ones. Like I have Max Mara, which I love. They're doing my first book signing for me. They're doing it up beautifully. They did a beautiful invitation. I will be there on the 25th. It's my first one. I've already sold a lot of books off my website. It's on Amazon. And I'd like to go on like a little bit of a speaking thing, like about my life. You know what I mean? I just feel that I feel I have something to say. Mm-hmm. That's I really do. And I feel like I can help. I used to do a little inspirational speaking with a divorce attorney that I worked with, a divorce lawyer. And people really liked what I said. I was a little hardcore, a little rough on them. Mm-hmm. But I have the proof with this book in my life to show them I'm not being hard on you. I'm telling you from experience
right.
And what works.
So you have the credibility. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Do you think you'll do any live podcasts like you used to do?
I would do that
in your future. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I would do that. Yeah, I definitely would do that. I think right now I'll concentrate for the summer because remember it's the summer, the book launch, my book signings, the podcast, and then on August I'll be doing the audio that's coming out in the fall.
Wow.
And then when I'm done with that, Rachel, then I'm gonna be me. I always need something else. So then maybe I'll be looking to do the lives. And by then my podcast will be over a year old. More people will know about it. I would definitely do lives. And I would like to do it with a panel.
Yeah.
See, I don't want to be just me and one person. Mm-hmm. I like having other people's opinions, like a talk show, the talk. Like that's, I like that.
I
enjoy that.
I think those are great. Well, definitely, people are definitely there to listen and to hear, and I know want to hear more from you. So remind people where they can find your podcast and where they can get your book.
Okay. Well, first of all, this is my book.
Beautiful cover.
Can you see it? Okay. Yep. My Life with the Big Boys is the back with one of my dogs.
Oh,
okay. So now there's two places. If you'd like a signed book, you go on my website because the books will come to my house and I'll sign them for you. www.poshbykimd.com. Okay. If you don't care about a signed book, which is fine, you can go right on Amazon. It's on Amazon. Okay. My Instagram is at Kim D Posh. My Patreon is Get Real with Kim D.
Amazing. And it comes out
every Saturday. So Saturday. I film Wednesday. Like, I have to do a couple podcasts later on today. I'm doing my live tonight with my second tier Patreons at 7. But every Wednesday or Tuesday, I go into the studio and we film it. And then it goes, it lands every Saturday.
Awesome. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear how your book does and see what comes out of, you doing this podcast. And I'm so glad that we have become friends out of this. So
me too, Rachel.
It was my honor to speak to you today. Thank you for catching us.
And it's my honor that you asked me to.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Anytime, baby doll.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.